Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, September 6, 2021, and this is episode 237 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of your heart attack San Francisco Giants. We are coming to you live on Facebook. I'm your host, Chad King. Joining me today, as always, Eric. What's up? What's up, man?
I'm just happy the Giants are still in first place. I never thought we'd see it. So it's a good weekend. It's a good Labor Day. I hope everybody out there enjoys their day off. And I'm looking forward to it. We got 25 games left. I'm looking forward to it. How are you doing after that Dodger series, Willie?
I'm good. I had no doubts at all. I'm surprised to hear you say you never thought you'd see it at first, but you were a doomer, huh? You thought
we was
a doomer. When we had the half game deficit, you were like, "That's it, season's over, pack it in."
What's up, doomer?
We've been in first place for 3 months, but you know what? One day out of it, that's it.
I just expected two or three. That's it. I expected them to lose two or three. Yesterday was a gift.
Okay. I mean, sure. I think we deserve that series. I'm going to be real. I think the Giants overall played better baseball than the Dodgers did, and that's how you win series.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, going in, look, guys, you know, I kind of was with Eric on this one. The Giants had two bullpen games, right, against Urias and Buehler. It was just like, holy crap, man. I mean, I hope they get the first one, but Disco's been trashed by the Dodgers this year, so it was kind of like... Man, I hope they get one.
Yeah, everything went against what we thought. Disco threw great, and then two bullpen games, and somehow we beat their best pitcher. Whatever.
But that's baseball.
To be fair, there you go. Yeah, the two games, I said this on the Say Hey podcast last week before the Dodgers series, the two games I picked the Giants to lose are the two games they won, actually. And the one game they lost on the Saturday game was the game I thought that they might steal, because nobody expected Disco. To me, Disco was one of like two or three MVPs of the weekend. Nobody expected. That was one of the best pitching performances of the season. In the context of everything that it was in, I really do. I feel like Disco's performance was as good as any complete game. It was really lost in the fun that we had with the whole weekend.
And actually, in a weird way, and I know this is a weird thing, but losing the second game by the margin that we did meant that we didn't have to use some of the guys that we ended up having to use in game three. So it was kind of this like odd kind of amalgamation of things coming together to get the Giants a series win. And the Giants, that's kind of what they do. They get series wins, right? This year has really been that way. It's not like we're sweeping everybody. We don't have some Yankees style massive win streak. We just consistently win series.
Yeah.
We won the Dodgers,
that last week.
Dodgers Giants season series. So there you go. Look at that.
Yeah, we made a point of that last week. The consistency that you bring up, Willie. I mean, they haven't won more than six in a row. They did that twice. They haven't lost more than four in a row. They've done that twice. They just win series. You know, they've hit .600 as far as a winning percentage in every single month of the entire season, which is the first time that's been done since whatever 1956 in the major leagues. And they've started out September at 3-2, which of course is .600 ball. So it's a small sample size, but they're right on .600 again. So they're not subject to these long losing streaks or long winning streaks. They're just consistent. And I'm with you. I think it wasn't a blowout, but you know, 4-1, then it became 6-1. It was kind of like, all right, you could just throw in whoever. It doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah, wave the white flag on this one. Yeah,
and you just move on to the next game. It's the other games that I have to keep my cardiologist on text to just feel no, I don't have a cardiologist yet, but this team may drive me to one. God, just. But hey, guys, this is why, you know, Willie, you named this podcast what it is. It has not changed in 11 seasons. God,
it's back, baby.
It is back.
But how fun is it, though? This is the first time we've gotten to really experience the head-to-head torture with the Dodgers. And in the entire existence of this podcast and just pretty much our fandom in general as adults and children, we've never seen them go head-to-head like this before. Like, the last time was 97 that they both shared first place in September. And then I think before that is all the way back to, like, 62. So it's not something we're used to seeing at all. I think it adds the extra spice. And I don't want to say I'm looking forward to a Dodgers playoff series, but the inevitable is going to happen.
So I need it to be fun.
this is going to be on. Yeah, I mean, the heart attack away is going to be on steroids. Yeah. You know,
62 was when the Giants and Dodgers finished in a tie for first, right? And then they had a 3-game series that wasn't technically a playoff series because that didn't.
Right.
Yeah. Right. There was no divisions then, so they just determining who went to the World Series.
Yeah, that's like an entire chapter in Willie Mays' autobiography, and I remember reading that many times. I want to give you guys a little anecdote about something that happened, a byproduct of this weekend series. There was a Dodgers fan that I follow on Twitter quite a bit, and I think I've talked about him on the show maybe a little bit. I had to block him this weekend because it was getting so contentious. These Dodgers fans are like, they're all in their heads trying to figure it out. They're trying to find the way to make it so that it's somehow the Giants just aren't good. And maybe it's the Dodgers are having a problem or whatever. It's just hilarious to watch the mind games that are being played. But he ended up posting something about how is it that the Dodgers are getting tired in the dog days of August and the Giants aren't. And first of all, he's wrong. Like the Giants are definitely in the biggest slump they've had in the entire season. But he's essentially insinuating that somehow there's a team-wide steroid program going on in the Giants, which I've actually heard from several people because – you know, how dare Brandon Crawford hit more than 20 home runs in his mid-30s? And how dare Buster Posey have a .323 average in his mid-30s? Like, it must be steroids, even though Posey's, you know, literally coming off of a full year off and playing 66% of the games. It can't be load management. It must be steroids. Anyway, I was like, all right, I've had enough. You're toxic. I'm like, I'm tired of you. But here's, and then this is the second half of this. Then I had a conversation with a Dodgers fan. We were talking about Ty, who's the Astros fan, and he was like shitting all over the Astros, talking up the Dodgers about, like, I can't believe that they're the second best team in baseball, but they're in second place in their divisions. How unlucky for us. And I ended up kind of coming up with a little interesting kind of, example of which team has the biggest advantage. And I was like, imagine you know two people, and one of them, like, steals cable and doesn't, like, pay for insurance on their car. And, like, they shoplift now and then. They live a little outside the lines just to try to, like, save a little money. Then the other friend has incredibly wealthy parents who pay for him to go to an Ivy League college and get him a job at their, like, buddy's firm right out of school. Who do you think is going to go farther in life?
Which guy? Oh, definitely the guy who's stealing and cheating.
You're like hating on the Astros and then you're like loving the Dodgers. I'm like, the Dodgers have the biggest advantage of any team in baseball. So they can't cry about anything.
Yeah.
And I'm sick of hearing them cry. I'm sick of hearing Dodger fans cry. But it does fuel me a little bit when they cry. So there's But that's anyway. My weekend was kind of it was an interesting one when it came to the series because it was surrounded by, I'm rocking this hat in Austin. It doesn't go over that well all the time. But it turns
out, I mean, it's not too. It can't be that bad in Austin, right? Like if I was wearing an Astros hat,
I
was going to say they got to hate the Dodgers more. So I think you're going to be okay.
That's funny. I live among a lot of Dodger hats where I live. So
Vegas. Yeah, Vegas is really close to LA. It's like a couple hour drive, right?
So yeah, we're East LA with all the people that have moved here from California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding. No, what's funny is. None of us expected it. In fact, Eric, I brought up in the notes that you were the highest in terms of win predictions from the three of us at 88. So you're only a game off. So unless they hit the floor here, it looks like they're going to beat your prediction, obviously. So collectively, we thought this was going to be a close to 500 team. So they're blowing all expectations out of the water. But yeah, I still am hearing my Dodger friends going, they've got lucky in the schedule and then this and then that. And it's like, guys, it's 135 games. The Giants beat the Dodgers 10 out of 19, including 10 out of the last 15, by the way. They went 10-5 against the Dodgers.
Yeah, Trey Turner,
like, best
ball away, that was us getting lucky, not him.
Yeah. It's always an excuse, right? Like, it's like, look, a team can have a hot month or two at the most, but come on. We're past that now. We're way past that. So, I think Patrick in here says Giants versus Dodgers as it should be. Yeah, it doesn't have to happen, but I think it's a pretty good chance the Giants and Dodgers are going to face each other, you know, in the NLDS, because one of these two teams is going to be a wild card and one of these two teams is going to win the West. So if that one team wins that wild card game, guess where they're going? Mm-hmm. They're going to face the West winner. So there's a pretty decent chance, you know. I mean, hopefully it's not, you know, the Reds or the Phillies or the Cards or the Padres winning that wild card game. But that's going to be epic. And, like, my heart couldn't take a freaking weekend series, regular season series against the Dodgers. I don't know how it's going to handle a playoff series. That's going to be
so
insane.
So if we end up being the wild card team, it's Webb now that we want pitching that one game, right? And then the next game will be a bullpen game, I'm guessing. Game one of the whatever the NLDS.
It'll be whatever it is, man.
Well, I mean, also forget the wild card game. If there needs to be a one-game playoff between the Giants and the Dodgers, you want Webb to go there first, ooh, I would think, and then you might have to go Gausman. But I think you put it in the notes here. Based on the win, the Giants will own the home field advantage for said tiebreaker with the Dodgers if it comes to that. Based on yesterday's win, I mean, unbelievable. You're right. They lost their first four to the Dodgers, I believe it was, and then to win 10 of the final 15 is just amazing.
By the way, it also swept. Means that the Giants and Dodgers have the exact same record against the rest of baseball, right? Because we have one more win against them in particular. So when you send us out into the world, we're the exact same team, but luckily we were able to eke out one more win against them.
Yeah, it was remarkable going into the series. Obviously, the Giants and Dodgers were tied for first place. They had each won 8 games against each other and had scored the exact same runs against each other. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't get more even than that. And then this series goes 2-1, a couple more runs for the Dodgers. So they've outscored the Giants, I think, 70-68 over the 19 games, and the Giants got the extra win. And like you said, yeah, they're even against the rest of baseball. I mean, they go about it at different ways, but, you know, Farhan's got his fingerprints over both teams. And look at the success for both. So Farhan is just like, I don't know, man. He's got some secret sauce going in his computers. He knows what he's doing. And, you know, I at first was a little doubtful of him and Kapler, and they've converted me. And if at this point, if you're not trusting in Farhan and you're not trusting in Kapler, I don't know what you're waiting for at this point.
Yeah, they're waiting for a ring. Without the Pujols home run, by the way, in the ninth inning, it would have ended in an exact tie.
I was kind of bummed for that reason.
I know.
When he hit the
homer. Yeah. It would have been an exact tie, which is crazy.
I thought that would have been cool.
Pujols just caught one. Yeah, he caught one.
Well, I mean, this weekend also showed the difference. Like, the Dodgers, they've been on fire. They were 21-6 in August, and the Giants were 19-9 and lost ground, which is just ridiculous to think
about.
Just
dumb.
But the difference was highlighted. Like, that Friday game was an extra inning game. Dodgers are 4-13 in extra inning games this year. The Giants are 9-7 in extra inning games this year. So as frustrating as it seems at times, they've been able to get the runner in and get the runner home. But it was very indicative of how these two teams have won and lost games all season long. And, you know, yesterday really showed that, too. The Giants got out to pretty much an early lead, and that's what we're used to seeing all season long.
Yeah, so yeah, let's...
The extra inning game actually really felt like a loss because of the way momentum was going, but it also kind of showed how the Giants don't really give a crap about momentum this year. Like, it's just like, hey, whatever. When it comes down to it, we'll scratch a claw. We'll get those runs across. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think it's true. I'm a very analytical person. I'm a scientist. I kind of think of, you know, like, compartmentalize everything. When it comes to fandom like this, I am totally a sucker for momentum, right? Oh, God, they blew the save in the ninth. Now they're going to lose the game, right? Oh, God, they've lost 3 in a row. That means they're going to lose 9 in a row. Like, that's it's so funny how your emotions get into it. And these ball players, especially on the Giants, you know, they call them resilient and all that stuff. But they are. They just brush it off, you know, and then just move on to the next inning, the next play, the next game. And they've shown it consistently this season that last night, yesterday, last inning doesn't mean shit for the current at bat. It just doesn't, which is nice. It's refreshing. Not even a little bit. All right, well, let's talk about this week. The Giants, since we last recorded, went 500, 3-3. They finished the homestand at 3-4. They lost 3 out of 4 to Milwaukee. They did salvage that last game, which we'll get into. And, of course, they won 2 out of 3 from the Bums. They stand at 87-50. That still doesn't look right. I just look at that every day, and I'm like, there's something wrong there. But they do have a one-game lead over the Dodgers now, and they still have the best record in baseball. And they what, got 25 games left or something like that? I mean, this is insane.
25. So they were briefly tied for the best record in baseball, right, with the Dodgers and the Rays?
Yeah, well, going into yesterday's game, yeah.
Yeah.
They were.
But we've never actually lost that title, I guess.
No, we did.
Well, the Dodgers had it for a half game. Yeah, yeah.
For about 11 hours. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Dodgers did have a half game lead on the Giants for, about 11 hours.
They owned the West.
See, my prediction, it ruined it. So the whole season is now ruined.
Oh, everyone's
never going to go out of first place.
Everyone is having fun with that MLB graphic, man, where, like, Dodgers reclaim the West, right? This whole thing. Yeah, and it's like, what the hell? Yeah. And then, like, everybody, when the Giants took it right back.
Yeah. It's like they went and just, like, stuck their flag in, like, the West, and they're like, it's ours now.
It's like, hey, it's done.
We're still here.
What the hell is this? They're up by a half a game. And, yeah, when the Giants retook it, you know, everyone's, like, doing the meme of the, like, scratching out the Dodgers and, like, photoshopping badly heads on top. It's like, the Giants reclaim the West. The first time since September 3rd or something like that.
Yeah, Crowley was the one who had the best tweet. He's like, for the first time since September 3rd, the Giants own the West again after they beat the Brewers on Thursday.
I mean, dude, we got a one-game lead. It's insurmountable. If a half-game lead is insurmountable, a one-game lead, that's double that.
I mean, lock it up.
I mean, that was frustrating, though. Those first two games against Milwaukee that they lost, Cueto looked like crap and couldn't get out of any inning. He tried to one inning, and he even got blown up with two outs. Quintana actually came out looking the best there, and Belt hit another meaningless home run. And then on the they just got outpitched in game three, but for them to salvage the series in that Thursday game, I mean, that was something. The whole sequence of events, the pitching performance they got from Logan Webb, it was what the Giants needed before the Dodgers series.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so like since we last recorded, we had those three games in Milwaukee or at home against Milwaukee. They lost that game 2-6-2. It was rough night after Barnes. That's the game I went to. They lost 3-1. And then they had to face Woodruff, and he was pretty dominant. Like you said, Cueto, I don't know if it was because of lingering effects from being sick, because he was scratched from the previous night's start, but they just kind of let him, pitch a little. They needed some length from him, but he still gave up six runs.
Look at our roster.
It was only
3 2/3,
man.
Tell me how many starting pitchers are on our main roster right now. Three.
Yeah, I mean, we got three so going right now.
Cueto's there. We need him to pitch some innings regardless of what's happening. It's a sad situation there.
Yeah, he gave up all six runs. After that, Quintana, who was just acquired, of course, and Littell shut him out. And like you said, Belt had his meaningless homer, but it was a career-high 20th. So, I mean, that was kind of significant.
Yeah, meant something to him, I'm sure.
Yeah, after all the grief he gets, he's finally hit 20. The next game, they lost 5-2. Gausman wasn't awful, but he gave up only 2 earned runs in 5. The defense did commit 3 errors, though, including a 2-out throwing error by Belt that lengthened an inning that allowed another run-scoring single to occur. That broke the 2-2 tie, unfortunately. So it was just frustrating. And then they kept 2 more runs after that, but it just kind of felt like the Giants just couldn't get out of the hole. They couldn't hit their way out of a paper bag. In that second game I just went over, they were 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. This game here, they were 2-for-14. Ah! So that's what, 2-for-22 in those two games?
Yeah. I mean, this is becoming a really, really unfortunate trend.
That is just not good.
The worst
kind
time of the year.
Yeah. It's bad. I mean, overall, I think they're hitting 255 or something like that with runners in scoring position for the year, but lately it's been bad. In fact, this whole stretch week they hit 181 with runners in scoring position. That ain't gonna cut.
They were 6-for-37 total against the Brewers with runners in scoring position, 162.
Yeah, not good. The Giants though in game 4 did salvage it. They won 5-1, but it was questionable. It was tied 1-1 for most of the game. Logan Webb pitched another masterpiece, giving up only 1 run and 4 hits, striking out another career-high tying 10 in 7 innings. They've won 13 out of his last 14 starts, but it came down to, let me bring it up here, Tie game here in the eighth inning with Darren Ruff on, or up at the plate with runners on first and second.
Ruff blasts one. Left field, and it's down in the corner. Here comes Bryant. The Giants grab the lead. It's 2-1. Darren Ruff comes through against Devin Williams with a double.
Well, you saw the graphic. Runners in scoring positions. Giants 4 for the last 42, 0 for 2 today. But Darren Ruff been so clutch this year. Sits on one pitch, gets the changeup in a zone that he likes, and drives that ball out to left field. And that's been.
I love how he discards his bat. I've been looking. He's just like, I'm done with this thing. Let's run.
He's just barreling everything right now. It's kind of nuts, man.
It sounds good off of his bat. I mean, he's been fantastic this year. And that was the first run Williams had given up in some remarkable stretch since June or May. So, I mean, it was great that they cracked through there. And then, of course, the next batter was Tyro Estrada, and he put a little padding with a three-run bomb, which was kind of necessary because there was a little bit of a scare in the top of the ninth when McGee allowed what looked like might be a two-run home run, but it was negated. It was actually foul by, who was that, Adames, I believe, who hit that?
Oh, my God, I forgot about that moment.
It doesn't matter. It's foul. It's fine. And the Giants go on to win that, 5-1. So they had briefly been in second place by a half a game. They quickly came back up to a tie, which set it up perfectly for the Dodgers series. Here they are, identical records going in. Game one, they are facing the Dodgers, who were thrown out. Price, didn't he start that game? I'm blanking out right now.
He was supposed to, and then he got scratched.
That's right,
he had scratched. Some sort of arm trouble, so Knebel took the mound to start the game for the Dodgers.
Didn't
and
Price,
they had their bullpen right. game. Yeah, he did, which has honestly confused the hell out of me, because on Friday they said it looked like he was heading to the IL, and then Sunday afternoon he came in and threw an inning.
He's in the game.
Like
All right.
I guess they're playing, games just like the Giants are. I mean, the Giants take forever to put out their lineups every day. They take forever to announce their roster moves. Like, I'm sure there's roster moves that happened since we've been recording, and we've been recording for 20 minutes.
I think Kapler's just using the gym and pumping some iron before, just thinking about the lineups. That's what he does. Takes him so long.
Two roster moves today so far.
Oh, my God, really? Okay, there was none before we got on, so.
Yeah, it's literally like the same thing that the Giants have been doing. It's like instead of resting a guy, a reliever for a day, you send him down to Sacramento for a day, and you pull up somebody else.
Isn't it crazy, man?
That's why they could absorb these bullpen games they did the last few days. Like, I was trying to raise concerns in a conversation the other day about the bullpen, and the person I was talking to was like, well, it doesn't matter. They'll just send three of the guys down, call up three different guys. Mm-hmm. There'll be, 15 different pitchers go through the roster in the Coors Field series, and that's what's going to happen. There's going to be two, three transactions every day.
Do you think that the manager of the River Cats is like, I get three guys I can't use. What the hell are they doing to me out there? They say send them down. I can't play them. I got nobody down here. Yeah, he's so frustrated. He's trying to win games in Sacramento. Have his roster is just there for like a cup of coffee while they wait to get rested. Mm-hmm. They're probably all just down there staying in the hotel room, not even dressing up. They just got ice packs on their arms. Yeah. They probably don't even go to Sacramento. They just go to their hotel in San Francisco.
I mean, they might as well rename their team the Taxi Squad, I mean, that's basically they are.
At least Sacramento's only an hour drive, so it's not so bad. But yeah, it's hilarious. The Rivercats are basically our bench at this point.
Yeah, no, it's remarkable. I mean, Eric, how many people have been on the roster this year? Wasn't it like 60-something as of last week?
Let me just click over and I'll see it. We are insane. At 53, 30. I think it's 53.
Mm. Okay, that's not that crazy. That's pretty great.
It's got to be more than that.
26.
I've got 53 listed as batters, so you know what I mean? Mm. Like, I don't know how many are the pitchers.
Oh, yeah.
Right. On this full season one, I'd have to count individually, but they got to be up to like close to 60. 1, 2, 3.
That is insane. Game one, they go in against, the Dodgers have their bullpen game. We got Tony Disco going. But earlier this year, he just has not fared well against the Dodgers. There's been a couple of Giants that just haven't seemed to solve the bums. So he went in with an 0-3 record. 9.44 ERA. And so you kind of were like, all right, Tony, let's see what you can do. And he was spectacular, guys. I mean, what the hell? just two hits in six innings. I mean, that's what McGee gives up in the ninth, usually, you know.
Isn't the guy with a sore ankle and a sore shoulder right now. He's going out there and putting that performance together. And when we really, really needed it, like, it really had, like, the vibes of some of the World Series teams where the pitchers who were not doing their best in that month or whatever put together some of their best performances when we absolutely needed them. So we're gonna need a few more from him if this is gonna work out.
Oh yeah.
Hopefully that was a confidence building start for sure.
Well, yeah, that's why I say it was like the start of the year, I thought, just based on the circumstances.
Yeah, I assume he'll be their number three starter if they get into the deeper into the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. Again, though, it was a game where maybe you expected the Giants were going to scratch a few runs across against the bullpen, and it just didn't happen. But they did carry a 1-0 lead in the ninth after the Giants' pen shut it down in the seventh and the eighth. So everything was looking great, and then McGee comes in, and everybody shares that Sam Jackson meme, hold on to your butts. And sure enough, he couldn't close the door again. And we'll get to him a little later. I got some stats on him. But the Dodgers did squeak a run across with a couple of singles and a double. Thank God it wasn't worse. Could have been worse.
And it could have not happened at all.
Right. That's baseball for you. Game of inches.
All Buster had to do was tag the guy. That's the night of the play. All Buster had to do was tag Justin Turner.
I had a whole conversation with Ty about this because I was explaining the play to him. And I was like, Ty, you've played baseball. And granted, you stopped playing baseball. I don't know how much he played in high school. I guess he played in high school. So I was like, if you're the catcher, because he used to play catcher, I was like, in this situation happens, who do you tag? And he goes, oh, well, the back runner is out. You tag the front runner. And I was like, why? And he's like, because there's not a force. I was like, oh my God, you know this? And I was like, how does Buster Posey not know this? So if there is a force, the lead runner is out because the back runner has basically
has to move.
He has to go to that base. In this situation, the back runner was technically supposed to have run back to second base. As soon as the rundown started, if he's trying to give his guy a chance to be safe, he gives up the base and he lets him. But, I think the back runner makes the correct play, which is I'm just going to stay here. That way we know we have a runner on third, right?
Yep.
So he made the correct play, except for the part where he just started casually walking off the base because he probably still should have just – they all should have just stayed on the base. All three of those players made some dumbass moves right in that very moment. All three of them should have stayed on the base until
all of them did
be over. And Buster Posey should have looked at the umpire because the umpire clearly pointed at the back runner that he was out. And then I guess Buster Posey, I don't know what maybe he was checking the runner at first to see who's advancing to second. But anyway, he biffed it. He biffed it.
So the way I saw it, you're right. All three made a mistake. The back runner should have never left. Then Turner should have never left. And then, of course, Posey tagged the wrong guy. It was so funny. But, I think what happened...
Turner just casually walked off the base.
I know. The umpire clearly points at the back runner, calls him out. Then he wanders off the bag. And then, of course, Bryant is yelling at Posey because now Turner's wandering off the bag after Posey had already reacted to the back runner going off the bag. So it was just like it was like, and Posey nobody recognized his error.
Apparently none of them knew the rule. I don't know about when you go to your job, but you're supposed to know all the rules, right?
Right. Oh my God. I had somebody try to say, well, you got to forgive Buster. He just didn't know the rule there. No, I don't have to forgive him. He's a major league catcher on a team contending for a World Series title. He should know the freaking rules.
This is not a situation that's not going to come up. This is going to come up. There's going to be rundowns.
They know now. They definitely know now.
Oh, they obviously won the game.
12 years and have it come up, I guess. And then, okay.
That would have been fun though if he had tagged him and then that's
what a great way ended. That would have been the end of game.
Oh my God, the vitriol on Dodger social media would have been epic. Oh,
Turner totally gets absolved for some reason. Turner's not made into a goat for being an idiot and walking off the bat.
He totally is a Turner.
Oh man, that would have been just sweet, but we didn't have the comeuppance then. But the Giants, they trade runs with the Dodgers in the 10th inning to tie it at 2. Giants had more opportunities to score. And then they loaded the bases again in the bottom of the 11th. And let me bring it up here. And then it was a really weird play that happened. So I'm going to go ahead and and hit play here with Buster Posey up. He's like, God damn it, I got to make up for that brain fart.
Exactly. He's going to do it with his speed because he's so fast.
Yeah, I love that. I'm so fast. There he is, exhibiting his speed, putting pressure on the defense.
One and two, the count now.
Then he flies away.
He definitely had, yeah. He definitely had the like fast runners exit from the base.
Yeah,
arms extended, saying, "I'm safe."
I think he was surprised, like excited. I think he didn't expect to be safe, and then like all of a sudden it dawned on him as he's crossing. He's like, "Yes, I'm safe."
He knew. Yeah, he knew. He everybody in the stadium, he knew more than anybody else that he is.
Oh man, he was 12 at that moment. It was awesome. Yeah.
By the way, that ball. He hit that pretty good. Like, he hit it, and like, it's the positioning is so crazy this season because we're like constantly seeing plays like this where you're like, as soon as it hits off the bat, you're like, base hit, because we've been conditioned for years where we see a ground ball that direction, that's a base hit. And then there's a guy there. You're like, why is there a guy there? But it's also making for some really interesting stuff like this, which is Trey Turner throwing from a position he's not used to throwing from. Apparently the grass was a little slick. Maybe his foot slipped out from underneath him or whatever. Either way, the throw was just wide. And Giants don't really catch a break. It's just something had to bend eventually, I think. We were constantly in that game putting runners in scoring position, putting pressure on the Dodgers. My contention is that we didn't get lucky. It's just finally something bounced our way in that game.
Well, if you look at it, the Giants outlasted the Dodgers, like literally just in a battle of attrition outlasted them. The Dodgers didn't have any pitchers left. This guy, Evan Phillips, that loaded the bases and then gave up this busted, you know, thing. I don't even know if it was a hit or an error. He was the last man standing. Will Smith was playing first base for the second inning after never playing first base ever in his entire major or minor league professional life. So the Giants just kind of outlasted the Dodgers, and it was like eventually they were going to get to it, because you know, you combine Turner, who's playing a new position, throwing the ball from a different angle, having to make a different kind of play, with Will Smith,
to a catcher playing a different position. Yeah,
right.
It's like the Dodgers were trying to be the Giants in that moment, and they're just not as practiced as we are at putting.
They ran out of guys, and the Giants kind of ran out of guys because Alex Dickerson hurt himself on the bases in the bottom of the 11th. Right. And if they didn't win the game, Logan Webb would have played left field for the 12th inning. Which really
he was going into left field for the 12th inning. That was confirmed by Cap.
That was also the Dodgers' last pitcher, right? They had nobody else in the bullpen, so that guy was going to have to just go until the game was over.
Yeah. He batted in the previous inning, so they were stuck with him.
Yeah, they were stuck with him. So it was
Catwood or whatever. Poor Chatwood.
Just stay out there, buddy. We need you.
By the way, when we get to the next game, Chad, you got a text message you got to check from Ty.
Oh, all right. We'll do.
We'll get to the next game. Yeah.
So,
we'll get
to the, I mean, the Giants, like, they had so many opportunities. They had 22 at bats with runners in scoring position, fellas.
Oh, no. 22. Don't even tell me
what were they? 4 for 22 or something like that?
3 for 22.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
3 for 22.
Yeah, 4. We must have had more runs.
Holy crap. I mean, talk about a game they could have easily put away at multiple opportunities, and it just didn't happen. And it took a Dodger error. Yeah. And like you said, Will Smith, his first time ever playing first base. And it's not that he did a bad job. He reached for that ball. He tried to keep his toe on the bag. And I mean, it just came off, guys. I could see in an alternate universe or a different umpire, he calls him out, right? Then they review it, and they're like, it's going to be too hard to overturn this. We're not sure his toe is off. But now it's the other way around. He's safe, and it's like, we're not sure his toe is on the bag, so we can't call him out. That's kind of the way it was. So thank God, because there's been some calls this year in other games too where you're like, how did they overturn that, or how did they not overturn that? And this is one of those situations where we sat down and was like, all right, clearly the Giants won, clearly. And then that review took way longer than I was comfortable with. And I was getting a little nervous. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit, we're going to the 12th. Oh, no. But they salvaged the game, thank God. That was one of those games, again, you think, okay, they should have won it in the ninth, and they didn't. But they pulled it out. And the next game was the one where they lost to Urias and company 6-1. No big deal. You know, Buster went 3-for-4. Now he gets the hits. but didn't matter. Jay Jackson started the game as the opener, and he's just kind of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde this year. He'll have just spectacular innings and then just horrible innings, and he had one of those. So he allowed a leadoff home run, struck out the next batter, then walked the next two, and Cap's like, sorry, bud, I give you a shot. And he came out. Unfortunately, the two walks did score, and the Dodgers were up 3-0 before you knew it, and they just kind of cruised on from there. So, of course, the Giants' defense didn't help with 200 runs later.
But it's been a theme in these bullpen games that the first guy out seems to struggle. That it's maybe it's that added pressure of being that first guy out when you're just not used to that pitching that opening inning of a baseball game. But, it's like technically you would think that if you can never have a batter face the same guy twice, that's kind of a small advantage, right? And you'd think in these bullpen games, it's kind of nice. But it's these guys are just being out. They're being put in positions they're not used to being in. You know, when you're coming in, you're warming up for the start. And we've seen it a few times. Was it Leon or who was it who started the other one and really struck? Alvarez, I think maybe it was.
Oh, really last solid. Week?
Yeah, he'd been really solid and suddenly like couldn't throw a strike. And you're just like, what's happening? And
so that was the game that Cueto was supposed to start. Yeah, he was pushed back. And of course, Alex Wood was already put on the COVID IL. And so Alvarez had 20 straight appearances without giving up a run. And so they tapped him, and then boom, he gives up runs right away. Yeah, so you're right. I think psychologically, it's just a situation they're not used to in the bigs. And it just, you know, maybe they can't handle that kind of pressure right away. Even if it's just an inning, it just doesn't seem to work out.
It probably feels a little foreign and a little out of rhythm for him. And, you know, things don't quite go their way. So, yeah, but it's like if we can get out of that first inning with these bullpen games, sometimes we're okay. But this one, it was like, okay, instantly it felt like. But like after the game before, the extra inning, oh my God, Buster screws it up and we barely get away with the win. It kind of felt like, okay, letdown game. Let's just come back in three. That's the way I kind of felt about it almost right away.
Yeah.
The first thing I was like going to turn off in a while.
With these games against the Dodgers, though, the reason it was Jackson and Leon starting was because the Dodgers lineup, three of the first four batters are right-handed. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to run the right-hander out, and being bullpen games, then alternate, you know, to left-handed guys, and then they'll bring the right-hander around to face Turner and who was the other one? And Betts, and then go to the left-hander and then come back around to the right-hander. And I think that that's kind of what they tried to do throughout both games this weekend. It just didn't work Saturday, and it kind of worked Sunday. And I think, you know, you're right. Leon getting out and getting three quick outs, he was the guy who finally handled it. All these other guys are coming into it, and, you know, like Jackson walking two guys, it was almost unacceptable the way Jackson pitched his one inning on Saturday. It was so frustrating to watch because the Giants fell behind the eight ball, and then it just they were digging out of a hole the entire game.
I just saw Ty's text, and I'll bring that up in a second. My lord. All right, so anyway, game three, they're going against Walker Buehler, notorious Giants killer, and this is that game where I honestly was like, all right, well, I mean, at least the Giants salvaged one game. They're only going to be one game behind with 25 to go. That's not the worst position. You know, it'll be fine. Brandon Belt, you know, hits a bomb to start off the game. His number, what is that, 21st, I guess. So I was like, okay, we got a run. That's cool. And it just rolled on from there. I mean, Walker Buehler gave up, you know, basically six runs in the first three innings. So they scored, one in the first, three in the second on a triple by Duggar and a single by Ruff, and then two more in the third by a double by Crawford and a single by Casale. And then suddenly it was 6-1 after three. And so I'm going to go ahead and there it is. Go ahead and share the Duggar triple, which just sneaked inside the line here off of Buehler.
Score them both. Here comes Crawford. Yastrzemski right on his heels. Duggar lost his helmet. He's chugging into third.
Let's go.
Hitting here. Getting the fastball in.
Do you think it's annoying to play in a dark blue jersey? Just all dark blue.
That's so ugly.
Well, first of all, Walker Buehler looks like he's wearing skinny jeans. So,
like, they all look like they're in pajamas, dude.
Yeah. It's not a slumber party at the yard.
At least the Giants City Connect jerseys are, like, kind of like baseball jerseys. I don't know. It's just, thank God we didn't do anything like that. Yeah, what if we had just bright all-orange jerseys, pants and the shirts?
Traffic cone jerseys.
Oh, man.
that wouldn't be so
look good. Like, look like we're like prisoners.
That Duggar triple doesn't happen if Zach Littell doesn't come in and clean up a mess in the top half of that second inning. He, like, you know, I talked about Disco being the MVP Friday. Zach Littell came in with runners on first and second and nobody out after Alvarez faced his three batters. And he threw a wild pitch and then got pop fly strikeout to strand the runners. You know, he got Taylor, Bellinger, and then Buehler to get out of it. So Littell's been like that guy all year long who comes in and just puts out the fire.
I think he got the win too for that one.
Oh wow, did he?
Yeah,
he deserved it for that. That's a good call. Yeah, by the scorer. Exactly. Yeah. He totally. Oh, he did. Look at that. He totally deserved it for coming in because that was the key to the game right there. He shut them down, and then the Giants came back. And Duggar, who hadn't been up in a few weeks, you know, it was interesting to hear him say, "I was ready to play this game since I got sent down." You know, he's like, "I was waiting on the call." He was so excited to be with the Giants again, and right in the middle of a pennant race. You know, it's amazing with all these moves. We have so many different guys with the key contributions this year, and it's not like even magical. It's just because the Giants have that kind of depth, and to have Duggar come through in a situation like that, I mean, it's huge for a whole ball club. And they finally got some hits with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, pitching was key, but I mean, the only reason they got to that 6-run or 5-run cushion, they went 4-for-10 with runners in scoring position, and it was like, okay, that's how you're supposed to do it, boys. They still went 14-for-77 for the week, which is a 181.
We still left 20 guys on base in that game, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of runners on first. But hey, you know, they got through to Walker Buehler. I mean, that was ecstatic. And the bullpen, like you said, did a great job. Some big strikeouts. Littell was out there. Duvall had a big one, even though he was a little wild. His first pitch was to the backstop. And then he walked a guy, and it was like, uh-oh. We got shades of Wild Thing here. But then, yeah, he struck out a guy with the bases loaded. And then McGee comes in and isn't helped with a Bryant error to kind of lead off the inning. And then Pujols does his Pujols thing. And suddenly a 4-run lead is cut in half. Then he puts another runner on. And you're like, how is it again? They got a 4-run lead, non-safe situation. And they got the tying run at the plate in the form of Justin Turner. And you're just like, crap, man. This is a game they should have just handled easily. And thank God that ball wasn't another foot to the right with Yaz going against the screen, because that would have given him a new life. But, you know, that ended the game. But I want to talk about McGee real quick, and I'll get back to the tweet about the umpire in a second. So he was pitcher of the month in July. He went 20-something outings without giving up a run. He was fantastic. His ERA was lowered all the way to like 2.06 or 2.08 or something like that. Since then, last 11 outings, 10 and a third innings pitch, 7 earned runs. That's a 6.1 ERA. 15 hits, 3 walks, only 8 Ks. That's a 3.26 batting average against, and 2 bombs. He's blown 3 saves in 8 opportunities. This is starting to become a little bit of a trend now. Like, I wasn't worried the first, second, even the third time you're showing hiccups. I'm a little worried right now. In contrast, you have Tyler Rogers' last 10 outings, 10 innings, 0 runs, 10 Ks, only 5 hits, a 1.43 batting average against. I mean, I'm not necessarily making a case because we did this earlier in the year with Rogers being in the ninth inning. Because just like an opener may not be able to do it psychologically, there are issues there with Rogers maybe going out in the ninth and not being able to close a game. I'm just saying, here we're coming, you know, down the stretch, 25 more games, and McGee just, he's lost a little velocity lately. He's one trick pony, and I don't know, he's just not as nails as he used to be back in July.
I don't know if it's velocity, because he's thrown a bunch at like 97 recently. I really do think it's like, you know, you texted us the other day, Eric, about Gausman, that people are adjusting. And I just think it's, we're deep in a season where he needs to adjust back, because people are adjusting to him, you know? And you know, with Gausman, you were saying, yeah, anything low in the zone, the batters are just taking now, because it's going to be a splitter low.
Yep.
And so they're just going to look up, right? Which is what you should do anyway against the guy who throws like sinker splitter. But yeah, but with McGee, it's like they know what he's going to do. He's going to try to like elevate a fastball. So we can just spit on the fastballs that we know are going above the zone, because everything with him is just straight and like kind of rises, even if anything. So yeah, it's like the batters are just changing their approach with him, and he needs to adjust back. He needs to figure something else out. Mm-hmm. Or else we need to move him into a different situation and let Rogers go out there for the ninth inning more often. You know,
it's like a one-trick pony thing. He throws the fastball, and that's it. Like, I was screaming during the Mookie Betts at-bat yesterday. He threw him seven pitches, all fastballs. Like, it was a 2-2 count. He could have thrown a slider at any moment. Just, you know, he had a pitch to waste. Might as well throw it out there. Try to go for it. Oh, my God, this is the worst.
Can't he develop a changeup, though? Like, why has nobody ever told him to develop a changeup? Like, because if he's a fastball, he could just be a fastball changeup guy. He doesn't need a slider. Just fastball, just something so that you mix the speeds, right?
No, that would be a great pitch with him because it would keep hitters off balance.
Exactly. Like, and you could throw that when you're ahead in the count, just to put it in their mind that look, sometimes it's coming at you, you know, at 85, and then sometimes here we go, 97 again. So anyway. Yeah, here we go.
I got to increase my screen because, oh, man, this is the worst.
So for those of you listening on audio, I brought up the umpire scorecard for Tony Randazzo, who umped yesterday's game. And because Eric just talked about Mookie Betts, look, he was bad for both sides. Obviously, he was a little bit worse for the Giants. In fact, this scorecard rates the overall performance as a plus 2.42 runs in favor of the Dodgers. So,
which is like a huge, that's for these scorecards, that is, that's a huge number.
That is a huge number. Massive number. And obviously, the Giants
so far this year, the Giants have played in a game where the other team has an advantage of plus one run or more. They've done it 13 times, I believe, and they've won every single game for some reason.
Really?
Wow. It's kind of really
weird.
We need
that chip on our shoulder. We need to be mad at the umpire.
Apparently.
Yeah. No, there was, Doval to Smith, two outs, bases loaded, 3-2 count. The strike is called a ball. That was an awful one. Oh, my God. Yeah. That was just like, that was right there. It was right there. Called a ball. Quintana to Seager in the third, two outs, runners on first and third. These are the worst calls. Overall, the inside zone accuracy was only rated at 76%. Ow!
I mean, so wow. the average for overall accuracy at 94, and his was 86. So he's like a full like 10%, 8% below that or whatever. Yeah. But, I mean, of the taken pitches, 152 were called correctly out of 176. I mean, you're missing 24 pitches.
Yeah.
24 times you're not calling it correctly.
Okay, I'm not trying to defend the umpire. I'm just relating that there are times that you know you're having a bad day, and he knew he was having a bad day. And with the Giants bringing in a new pitcher every three freaking batters, you can't get set. You can't get in a rhythm. Buehler's not pitching well. You expect him to bring your eyes into the zone, but he's not even doing that. So I'm not making an excuse. I'm just saying I can totally relate to having that kind of a bad day and it's snowballing. But this has to be the worst we've seen.
So if they implement robo-umping, right, which I think a lot of people are getting more and more on board with, you don't get rid of the home plate umpire. You just put like a buzzer in his pocket or whatever that when it's a strike, it buzzes, right?
Yeah.
So he's still calling it back there, and like he's still, you know, there's still things that matter. But it's like, this is why I feel like it's necessary, is like you don't want the outcome of the game to be 2.42 runs different than it was supposed to be.
Yeah. That is such a huge number. And, you know, look, I like the human element of umpiring. I don't necessarily want it to go to robocalls. And if a certain umpire, let's say they're consistently outside, you know, calling balls an inch outside, well, as long as they establish the zone and the players are you know about it, or at least this guy, that's what he's known for, I have no problem with that. If they consistently call high, low, or whatever. Again, as long as they are consistent, and not even precise, I guess precise. This guy yesterday, my Lord, there's a few strike calls that are inches outside of balls that he called. And that's where you have that problem, right? Where it's like, man, you can't call something further outside a strike when you called the thing that was further inside a ball several times. You can't do that. So I don't know what was going through his head. Again, I know they have, you know, they lean one way or the other, but man, I don't know if he was drinking that day or what, or he wanted to get out.
I mean, look, if he's having a bad day, can you as an umpire be like, hey, look, man, I suck today. Can we get the third base umpire to swap with me? Because like,
no, you're going to fight through it. You're totally going to fight, just like a player would fight through it. You know, it's no different. The human element extends to that. But this is ridiculous. That red line that is his quote unquote strike zone on this. I mean, that is drunk. That's totally
That's like a child's crayon drawing right there.
Yeah, I mean, look at how many green balls are inside of the red lines.
That's what's so bad. Yeah. His inside zone accuracy, 51 of 67, true strikes correctly. Ugh.
That's horrible. I'd be embarrassed. I would.
Yeah. So if you guys haven't followed this account, it's a great account at Ump Scorecards on Twitter. So they do a lot of ratings. And, you know, sometimes it can humble yourself. Like, you'll swear an umpire had a really bad game, and then you'll check it out, and you're like, it wasn't actually that bad. It was kind of average.
A bunch of Dodgers fans should be right now, because I saw all of them screaming about how the umps gave the Giants this game.
Oh, well, here you go.
Because that strike three call to Betts, and I get that. It was a bad call.
But it was a bad call.
Because there were a lot of bad calls.
No, because it happens in the ninth inning, that's the one they're going to remember, right? Uh-huh. But I'm sure they've all forgotten about Devalda Smith and Quintana to Seager and Duvall to Taylor. I'm sure none of them are thinking about those, even though those technically like ended up mattering more. Because, you know, look, that call wasn't good, right? But that's after like a game of bad calls, and then it was not like, you know, bases loaded down one or something like that, and he strikes out to end the game. It was a runner on first, one out. They still have chances, you know. I don't know. And they're down four going into that inning. Like, oh my God, one guy got one bad call. We were supposed to score five in that inning.
Yeah, Mookie Betts would have homered. Yeah, exactly.
That's a little like, but this is how Dodgers fans are, man. They just think like it's a travesty that they didn't, you know, that they haven't won 162 this year. Because we spent $300 million. We're supposed to win every game. It's like a spoiled child. That's who they all are. I'm sorry. I'm mad at Dodgers fans. They're the worst.
Yeah, and who knows where this is going to go. There you go.
Them Dodgers fans.
God damn it. Yeah, I did. It was sad to see, though, you know, so many Giants season ticket holders selling their seats, though. That was just like, I know you can make cash. I get it. I'm not saying I wouldn't, but I just... That was a bad.
Or maybe they were thinking, let's let the Dodgers fans get COVID, and we'll stay home. We'll order in whatever we want from Uber Eats with all this money we just made.
That's right.
Well, 70. I know that 75 people got ejected from the park on Friday night.
Wow. Whoa! Really?
During a pandemic, don't get into a fight with the opposing team's fans.
75.
Actually, during all the time, don't do that. That's just.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get why it happened. This is again not an excuse. It's just an explanation. You have alcohol. You have the rivalry that matters, and then you have people out and about for the first time in 18 months. Yeah. They don't know how to act. People are idiots. Yeah. They just don't know how to act. So you know, they go off. I'll throw myself in there. It happens sometimes.
I
don't get into fights in the stands, but
sure, sure. I mean, I definitely do a lot of yelling. But I wonder if they had a short leash with people because of like COVID and stuff and because of the rivalry. If they were just told like, hey, if someone's even like seems like they're about to get belligerent, just get them out of here. Because that's what if I was in charge of security, I would be like, hey, guys, we don't let anybody get anywhere close to, you know, starting a brawl. Because we've seen a bunch of crazy stuff. Like, I don't know if you saw the Dodgers fan headbutt the Astros fan who was getting taken out of the stadium. That was pretty violent and unnecessary, but like this is the kind of stuff that's happening right now.
Yeah, but hey, we didn't see any videos leak out after this weekend. True. So, you know, I mean, that's kind of good, you know, because you got to play nice.
In fact, the only thing I saw, I don't know if you guys saw this, was a tweet from a Giants fan who said that while she was leaving the stadium, she was getting harassed by some guy, and a group of Dodgers fans surrounded her and walked her to her car and made sure she got to her car safely.
Do you know who that was? It was Susan Slusser.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Susan Slusser? Really?
It was. I swear to God.
Wow. No way. Oh, man. Just...
It sucks. Like
that name's come up a few times in the last few days.
It sucks.
Yeah. Oh, well.
We're going to delete part of this podcast?
No, we haven't said anything. It's all good. No, it's all good.
Not a word. But I'm glad she's safe. Don't be mean out there, people.
Don't be mean to Susan Slusser, everybody.
That's right. Oh my gosh. Thoughts about that. Anyway. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about transactions. Yeah, so a couple happened today already. Jay Jackson was sent down to the minors. Kervin Castro was called up. So is this going to be his first time on the roster?
I think so. I don't remember
that name being up. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so. So hey, we're just expanding that ultimate
fresh
number.
Fresh arm, baby. Fresh arm. We can exploit. He can go at least two innings in a row.
Yeah, Kervin has not been up with the big club yet this year. He's not on the list.
All right. Well, that's good. So then earlier this week, of course, we saw them in the game yesterday. Camilo Duvall was called up. Steven Duggar. Austin Slater was placed on the 7-day IL for concussion protocol. And this is, I think, for slamming into the fence, right? am I correct in that assumption? Yeah. I haven't read the report, but I just
on that home run on Saturday.
Yeah, Sammy Long was sent down. Dubon was called up. He's been up and down a couple times this week. Alex Dickerson, of course, is on the IL with a strained right hamstring, which is why Webb would have had to go play left field should that game have gone to the 12th. Tyler Chatwood said F you to the Giants. He's out. So, like, they DFA'd him, and he's like, yeah, I'm done. And that's about it for this week.
Enjoy your ring, Tyler.
yeah, not quite Dan Uggla territory, but, you know.
Look, I think for that, just for that one game where he had to come into a game as the last guy on the bench, give it up, and then make the third out to end the game, he deserves
it. He does.
He'd get one. I know, it's so funny. It's like those the guys who iron on or stitch on the numbers and jerseys and all that stuff, man. They must like be so busy. They're just like, oh, this guy again or this new guy. It's like, all right, stitch it on. Here we go. And it's like, the dude wore the jersey for 2 days and he's gone. What do we do with all the other crap now? It's like, I made an alternate. I made a creamsicle. I made a...
Yeah.
What do I do with all these? Jersey for him? Come on, man.
It's a racket if you run an on-call tailor business.
Yeah, right? These guys are busy, man. That department, the seamstress department or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. All right, so you put in some who's hot. Let's talk about that, Eric.
Well, I wanted to highlight the bullpen since that we've had to use and seen 25 different guys lately. Where's the right page? These guys, Tony Watson, you mentioned him. His last four outings since he gave up that run or two, he's had 13 batters faced and only had one hit and one walk. So four outings, 13 batters faced. That means he got a double play somewhere. Quintana, since he joined the Giants, he struck out 10 of the 24 batters he's faced and only allowed two hits and one run, which is a bit surprising and unexpected, but he's thrown six innings already for the Giants. You know, Jose Quintana, who the hell thought that? And then
Farhan.
Yarlín García. Yeah, right? I mean, he's six moves ahead of us. Yarlín García threw 7 1/3 this past week, 4 hits, 0 runs, 8 Ks. So he's been on fire. And we already highlighted Littell earlier, and then Logan Webb we talked about with just his great outing on Thursday with his 7 innings. But the bullpen has just been so great lately. They're the reason the Giants are there. As you said, Willie, we got, what, 3 starters? So we need this friggin' bullpen. There's talk of Scott Kazmir possibly starting on Friday at Wrigley because the Giants have their 3 starters lined up for this Colorado series. And it's like, what do they do next?
I mean, what the hell do we do when we get to the playoffs? We just have 3 starters and then a bullpen game every four games?
Well, Wood will presumably be back.
Hopefully be back. But, I mean, I don't know. It feels like we've been thinking that these guys are just going to be back and healthy like all year, and it's just that's one thing after another. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, signs of Disco coming out like this. I know it's just one start, but if he has a couple more solid starts, that's going to be just a fantastic, not insurance policy, but third start or whatever for the playoffs. Because right now, Gausman is just his second half is just not like his first half. He's got a lot of concerns right now with people sitting on that low splitter. They've kind of learned how to handle him. Obviously, Webb's been their ace. I can't imagine him not pitching in a wild card or first game anywhere. And then you got Disco going third, and then Alex Wood would probably be, supplementing that rotation or having to fill in. You know, Kaplik can make a quick hook or something like that. So
I think the thing, though, is you take our actual MVP, Farhan, out of the rotation when we get to the playoffs because you have to just settle on a roster before the series starts.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, bouncing guys all around the place. So,
Where does Cueto fit in?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But I'm looking at like these, like you think about like the how the playoffs have worked when the Giants have been successful. It's like usually we like lean on a core group of relievers, right? Right now we're leaning on like 10 guys.
Yeah.
So it's like when we get there, luckily a few guys have really separated themselves as the guys that I think will be the leaned on ones there. And if we do hopefully have Wood back and it's, he's actually healthy and we have 4 legit starters healthy, then, it'll seem a lot better. But right now it's just like, man, we are holding on by a thread and it's unbelievable that we're still somehow in first place with the best record in baseball, the way things have been for now. It feels like months. It feels like it's been a lot. We've seen a lot of bullpen games. I don't know if we lead the league in that, but it feels that way to me. So
What's amazing is the Dodgers are a team that are also having to use that strategy because they've had problems with their injuries to their pitching rotation. So the best two teams in baseball are managing to do it and maintain 87-50 records.
Yeah.
And then right behind them, the Rays, they're the ones who kind of started this whole thing, and they're still doing
it. I was just reading today a thing about how, like, only three guys who threw innings for them in the World Series last year have even pitched in the last, like, month or so. They have a whole complete different crop of pitchers who are doing it. And like you said, they're only one game behind the Giants heading into action today.
Yeah.
They're, 86-51.
Yeah, so these top teams are all kind of dealing with similar issues, but, you know, it's whatever works for these guys is working right now, but you can't go to the playoffs. Yeah, let's see game one. Let's start this guy. You know, let's go Zach Littell today. He'll pitch one. It's like, yeah.
That's... Well, it could mean that Cueto might not make the roster for the 5-game series.
Yeah, that's questionable. The only reason is Cueto. I think he could potentially earn a start depending where Wood and Disco kind of fall into that mix, only because Cueto has probably the most experience at any of these guys, the most playoff experience, and man, you got to give it to Cueto. When it's a big game, whether it's a home opener or a playoff game or whatever it might be, he seems to deliver. He's got a knack for those games. It's like kind of the mundane games. He's like, man, he gives up 5 runs. Yeah. So I could see him, you know, being a game 3 starter and pitching lights out for 6 innings. I really could.
By the way, the Rays. Their payroll, $70 million. The Dodgers, $267 million. So the Dodgers are outspending them
almost four
only
times.
197.
200 more million.
Yeah.
197.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Cueto could turn in. He's like Tim Hudson maybe from 2014.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think he makes the roster. It's just,
I mean, you let him. Yeah, in like the playoffs, happens. It's like, all right, give us like the best 3 innings you can give us. You know, and then,
yeah.
Like that, I would be fine with that. But
yeah, pitch have a
short
off.
Leash, you know. I mean, Cueto can usually go through an order one or two times, but the third time he's done. And like you said, though, the higher the situation, the higher he seems to step up. And Kapler's had a real long leash with Cueto this year. We've seen him go out to the mound and leave him out there, and he seems to be the one, you know, guy he acquiesces to his veteran status and just lets him kind of call the shots when it comes to those things. But you know, so I guess you're right. He'll probably be on the roster, but. It has to do with who's healthy going down the rest of the
Life. It's really going to come down to, like, do you have any nagging injuries? Because it seems like when Cueto's been fully healthy this year, he has been very good. He just hasn't been healthy ever, really, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, if you're feeling like, you know, flu shit the day before and you got to go out there and pitch a major game, I mean, you know, it could have been lingering effects from that. He could have been dehydrated.
It could also be from drinking a lot on the plane ride home. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Could have been really COVID, you know. You never know. All right. Well, coming up for the Giants, they got 3 in Colorado starting in just a couple of hours, really, here on Labor Day, a special Labor Day baseball game there in Colorado. The Rockies got one of the best home records in all of baseball. So we'll see what happens. This isn't the Rockies on the road, but thank you, Rockies, for taking 2 of 3 from L.A. last week. That was very nice of you. Then they have an off day Thursday, and then they fly out to Chicago playing the AAA Cubs. But I think they've won like 6 in a row or something like that right now, or they're playing really well right now. So, you know, I hope the Giants won't take them too lightly. I think fans might if, you know, the Giants go out there and drop 2 of 3. They'll be like, well, I can't believe they look. They did this to the Pirates and a couple other teams this year. It happens. You know, it's again, it's baseball. Shit happens. The following week, they come back home 4 against the Padres. I think they have 10 of their last 25 against San Diego alone. And then 3 versus the Braves back at home. I didn't break it down. I listened to some other people breaking down the last 25 games for both the Dodgers and the Giants. And it's funny to hear both sides of the coin. Some people are giving the slight edge to one team or the other based on that. It doesn't matter, guys. I mean, at this point with 25 games left, you can't really break it down on paper. When the Dodgers lose 2 of 3 to the Rockies at home and the Giants take 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers, you know, it's like, just let them play, man. That's all you can say. I don't think we can sit here and break it all down and say, well, the Giants should go 13-12 and the Dodgers should go, you know, it's like,
the difference in the strength of schedule that's left is like a 0.001 percentage point of the opponents that each team is facing.
So there you go.
It's totally a fair fight. It's just a kind of a shame that we're not going to see a Dodgers Giants series to like settle all of this.
Dude,
like
the last three were against the Dodgers. Oh man.
Yeah, right. I mean, that'd be something, but you know, instead we had to get it all over before Labor Day. So
I know. I mean, the last time we had that was what, 2010 against the Padres. That was epic. I mean, it wasn't the Dodgers, but that was pretty epic. And the Giants.
Yeah, but it was against a team that was in front of us. It was it was insane. Yeah.
Yeah, that
by the way, the Padres, I do feel like this really comes down to, do they go into full tank mode or do they like nut up and pull it together?
I mean, they're fighting for the wild card.
Yeah, no, but the Padres are just like, you don't know what you're going to get from them day to day. Like sometimes they look like this team that was supposed to be a powerhouse, and sometimes it's like, oh, just the Dodgers swept you? You just went out there and you just rolled over for the Dodgers? Thanks. I appreciate that, I guess. I had a Padres guy come up to me while I was at work. So I wear this hat every day at work. It's a brewery with tons of customers. It's Austin, a place where people are from all sorts of different places. This guy's wearing a Tatis jersey and a Tatis hat. He comes up, he says to me, you guys ruined our season.
Huh?
The Giants, apparently, in his mind, ruined the Padres season because they were supposed to be... They were supposed to be battling with the Dodgers for this, and now they've been replaced by us. And I was like, I think you guys ruined your season. I think when you got swept by the Dodgers last week, that had more to do with it than the Giants playing well. But anyway, it was really funny. And it was like indicative of like when things aren't going your way, fans get a little unreasonable. And I see it on the Giants side, too.
Well, it's your fault.
Every game day thread. Yeah, every game day thread. A bunch of Giants fans in there being totally unreasonable. But it was just hilarious. I was like, man, I'm sorry to break this to you, buddy. But yeah, the Padres did this to themselves.
I mean,
poor guy. At least he's totally still a believer, you know?
I mean, they went 1-5 against the Cubs this year. I mean, that's going to do it to you, you know? Yeah. Yeah, they went 2-4 against Philly. Although, it's amazing. The Giants didn't ruin it. The Dodgers did, too. I mean, nobody's as good as the Giants and Dodgers. It's just, there's no two ways around it. Padres would have had to have been exceptional to keep up with the Giants.
I love drinking these tears from these other fans where they can't believe that the Giants are good. And look, we can't believe it either.
Yeah. I'm surprised the hell out of us.
We celebrate it. You guys have to cry over it. It's the best.
But yeah, San Diego, they do have the second wild card spot right now, a half game over Cincinnati, 2.5 over Philly, and 3 over St. Louis, and 4 over New York. So they're definitely going to be fighting for this wild card spot. Yeah. They're not going to roll over on purpose.
They're playing the Dodgers and the Giants like 80 million times over the
They do play, yeah. I think the Dodgers have them like 6 times or 8 times or something like that. Yeah, and then the Giants,
Have them 10. And then they have 3 against Atlanta, so that doesn't help. And then the other 2 are against the Angels. That's it. Oh, and 3 more against St. Louis.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
so not San Diego's schedule. They're totally screwed.
Yeah, well, it definitely doesn't look good on paper. That's what happened to the Mets. That's what happened to the Mets season. When they had 12 games in a row against the Giants and the Dodgers, and they lost like 10 of them.
Oh, my God, yeah.
They
must have been like, I hate California so much.
It was 12 games in a row, and they only won 2. And it was just like Mets fans were losing their shit. I know they're doing a little bit better now, but man.
Still, they're the first team in history to hold a 5-game lead heading into a month and be 5 games or more back at the end of that month.
Yeah, thank you, L.A. and San Francisco, for that. That was bad. Mets are going to Mets, though. All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 237 of the Torture Cast. You can follow us collectively on Twitter at Torture Cast. Like us on Facebook. We post everything on our website, torturecast.com. You can get our audio podcast wherever you get your audio podcasts. And then we try to go live every week on Facebook. You could also view the video if you choose to do so. I caution you against that. Later, if you want, on Facebook. You can follow us individually at ChadK21 for myself, at 2OutHits with the number 2 for Eric, at Willie Dills. For Dills. Willie, what you got going on?
So no streaming for at least a little while, although I probably will stream tonight because the game is early. So if you want to check me out, there's a big Battlegrounds update in Hearthstone, but I'm going to be working like 6 days a week for the next little bit because I just bought a car. I had to buy a car. My other car was
that.
Constantly giving me crap. You guys know. I think I've missed a couple of podcast episodes because I was dealing with it. But yeah, so now that's no longer an issue. We traded it in. We walked away with a RAV4 that's in fantastic condition. I feel stoked about it, but I also now have a car payment again for the first time in a few years. So yeah, I'm picking up as many shifts as possible. So yeah, you're not going to see a lot of me on the internet, but you know, we'll see a lot of me at Brewtorium if you want to come by and have a pint.
Very cool. Eric, what about yourself?
You'll see more of me on the internet because last week I lost my job. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, we totally did last week. It was so funny.
Oh my God.
And then, so I'll say on Thursday, check out Giants Chatter Facebook group. We're there for all sorts of fun stuff. And I'm pretty sure Thursday I'll do a live stream preview of the Cubs Giants series just because I can't get enough of being on the internet because. Like I said, I have some free time right now before some other stuff picks up. So you'll probably see me doing that. So Giants Chatter, Facebook, that's about all I got.
And I am going to try and get my hands on a laptop that I can bring with me other than my work laptop, which I can't record from. I can't install software, you know, that kind of stuff. Because I'm going on a week-long scuba diving trip for work up on the north coast of California. However, they're day trips on a boat. So every night I'm coming back to a little hotel that hopefully has decent Wi-Fi. I don't know until I get there. So I'm hoping to try and arrange. We can record next week in the evening, depending on y'all's schedules. If it doesn't work out, then we're probably not going to be back on air until 2 weeks. So a lot of baseball will have transpired since then. But just wanted to give everyone a heads up for that. So we're going to try for 2:38 next week. If it doesn't work out, it'll be much later and just deal with it then. So. That'll do it for episode.
Because it's going to be important. We're down the stretch, man.
I know. That's why I'm trying to make it work. I'm like looking at my schedule going, God damn it, there's only 25 games left. And if it's we can't September, record next week, baby. They're going to be like more than half of those games are going to be done, you know?
Do you have any dives planned for October this year?
Maybe one weekend, which is going to suck.
I was actually looking at the playoff schedule in
2012. When they won that World Series, I was scuba diving on the Big Sur coast, and the captain of the boat, who's a massive Giants fan, he had season tickets as well. So we were both listening to satellite radio, because that's what we have on our little ship, for game four against the Tigers. And that was odd to like not be able to watch it. I was listening to the freaking radio as they clinched game four. And of course, him and I just went ape shit on the boat. But then I had to like go to sleep that night dreaming about the trophy, not seeing a single image of it, not seeing a single video clip of it. It was the most bizarre thing. So hopefully that won't happen this year. What were you saying, Willie?
I was just saying, yeah, I was looking at the playoff schedule, and if it comes down to... If the World Series is actually a thing, I'm like, I was hoping it was somehow going to be pushed all the way back, so I was going to be in Vegas, but I will not be. So I'm like, am I going to have to take work off? Because I work at a brewery with no TVs, and I'm always working in the evenings. Yeah, there's no TVs. Like, it's a thing. They don't want it to be like a sports bar.
This whole time I thought you were watching games at work.
Me too.
No, I mean when I'm lucky enough to be working in the kitchen, I can put my phone and watch it on the phone. But if I'm working in the front, no, there's no way to watch it at all.
Work at a bar without TVs.
I might have to just like if the Giants actually like pull this off and get there, I'm like, okay, I'm taking a week off.
I need to be
at every single game watching every. I was even thinking if they got that far, I might have to take an emergency trip back to San Francisco.
Is there any way you can get your playoff Sloppy Joes around there? I mean,
I'm sure. Yeah, I will like make my own at home or something. But yeah. I want to sit. I want to sit at Nicky's in Lower Haight, like I did in 2014 for every single game. I want to do that again. Like Zeke's is obviously off the.
Yeah.
Can't go to Zeke's anymore.
Can't go to Zeke's.
But Nicky's. Yeah, I'll call them and I'll be like, "You need to put emergency Sloppy Joes on the menu." Come to San Francisco for a week. Yeah, I mean, I hope this all happens, man. I mean,
I know. We're not trying to get ahead of ourselves.
Open up
a
new credit card.
It's just 1 month. Payment. It's just 1 month of playoff baseball. They can handle it.
Next thing I know, I look down. I was charged $10,000 just in like bar tabs. I mean, dude, it happens.
Oh man, yeah, you lose track. Holy shit, man! Well, we can dream.
I'm glad we're all thinking about this already, though. Like the fact that I'm thinking about October baseball It's so good. It's been so good.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it felt last night when the Dodgers got the tying run on first with one out. I mean, the tying run to the plate with one out. It felt like the playoffs. I got in playoff mode. I was sitting in the position I sit in. Sweating playoff baseball. I'm totally – I did all the things. My wife was laughing.
Oh my god!
You know, I'm so happy to be able to do that crap again. Though it's been so long. I mean, it's so nice to finally have competitive baseball. You guys ever do this?
Sometimes I like put a glove on and I just get a ball and I just like throw a ball into a glove. You know what I mean? It's like I just
deal with
everything
the
to be baseball related around me. Yeah.
My wife is always like, my wife tells the kids, "Don't go around Dad. Don't go around Dad right now." That's not going to be pleasant. Yeah, because usually I'll be like a tense moment this weekend, and my son will go, "Hey, Dad, my game isn't working. Can you help me with it?" I'm like, "No, no!
Blow on it!"
I'll fix it later. Just hit it. Hit your computer. Whatever.
Turn it off. Turn it back on.
Yeah, we all have our rituals. It's so funny, man. All right. Oh, good shit, guys. All right. Well, I'll do it for 237. Hopefully, we'll see you next week for 238. If not, after that. Anyway, just keep following us here on TorchCast. We got a lot of stuff going on. Giants are doing well. First place, best record. We can't ask for anything more. Have a safe week, everyone, and we'll talk to you later. Boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TorchCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TorchCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TorchCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.